Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Confession, though, yesterday, so I take a look at the renderings.
Mm.
Looks great.
I know.
It was one of those renderings where you look at it and like, wow.
I know.
This is so sharp. And then
they put up a statue or something. It was like, whoa.
When was it? About a year ago? Yes, it was about a year ago where the White Sox had renderings.
Yeah.
And I'm envisioning that ballpark next to that stadium, and I'm thinking, wow, that would be amazing.
I think the White Sox, when they did their rendering, didn't leave room for a soccer stadium.
No, they just had a chair in a field, and they said dibs for the fire.
They just had a group of kids playing on a small field with George McCaskey officiating.
We deserve it.
Okay, team, see what you're made of. Just kick it. Kick it hard. Okay. I want you to play dirty if you have to, but don't get caught. Hit the field. Let's go.
And Kevin Warren on the side with his palms up.
I'll tell you, the focus now is both downtown and Arlington Heights.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You don't want to be a palms up football team or a hands out ownership group.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. What a day. What a glorious, glorious day, Mr. David.
Wow. Good morning, Mully. Happy Friday. A lot going on. Exciting day here for a lot of different reasons, but it is Friday. The weekend has arrived.
And look at us, man.
Look at us. We are
geared up.
We are all geared out. Yes.
This is unbelievable.
We have our swag bags.
Four of us got swag bags. Mm-hmm. David brought them in, and we had a dress in the locker room, and then we came in, and David gave us a rah-rah speech.
We are wearing the CHSN uniform.
We are going to go fight win.
Yes, go fight win, team.
Rah-rah-rah.
Big day for Chicago Sports Network. Big day for the Score. Big day for the White Sox, and the Cubs get a victory as well.
Gosh, I mean,
a lot going on.
And big day for your Tigers, huh?
My Tigers.
Didn't they get a little bit embarrassed, Mr. David?
Kitty cats yesterday.
Yeah.
They weren't Tigers.
That's right.
They were embarrassed, I think, because
I think we'll
pitch our ace against the good Chicago team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that.
You know what? Take that, indeed.
The Sox destroyed them.
When they made that decision, Big Timber wasn't in Chicago yet, and here comes Tim Elko. He'll make you pay for that one.
Big Timber. I did. As he hit that ball, I just yelled, Timber! I gave it a yell.
Down go the Tigers.
All the kids are ducking like, what's falling on me? No.
You feel good for Tim Elko. This was his second big moment. He's only had about 35, 36 at-bats with the White Sox. Remember Mother's Day? That was a special day for Tim Elko. I don't know. This kid, he's no kid, but I think that
he's a young man.
He's easy to root for because he does have those intangible qualities that everyone that's around him talk about. And yesterday he came through in the clutch. White Sox get a walk-off winner.
They get a walk-off winner. And today, well, first of all, we'll get into ownership, but we've got new ownership coming. It's not an immediate transfer, but it's out there, and it's – it's glorious just because it represents money.
Well, the White Sox acknowledged it. And yes, I think when Jerry Reinsdorf issues a statement and the White Sox embrace what's going on without denials, it really does mark a new day because Justin Ishbia is in line to be the next owner of the Chicago White Sox. And that's not something anybody denies.
No.
And it's
no
going
longer.
To be a matter of when, not if.
And who knows when the money comes. Because he also has made a commitment to help finance immediately this year, next year. That's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal. And the language in the statement, to me, what stood out are three different things. Capital infusions. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
They also talk about supporting the team's operations, the team operations.
Thank you.
So that it could be interpreted in a variety of ways. And then the third thing was paying down debt. So when you combine those three ideas, I don't know that there's gonna have to be this wait until 2029 or 2034 when the plan is supposed to be formalized. This has been formalized and it's official. How they interpret his involvement, the Ishbia's involvement, I think we don't really know, but what I just said suggests that there's two big things going on with the White Sox. They're rebuilding the baseball team, and they're going to need payroll flexibility, means paying players, and there's a stadium project underway. They might need capital infusions for that as well.
And down the road, a touch, maybe even quicker than people imagine, is it possible that Jerry won't be cracking wise about, well, I tell you, we're not getting Ohtani. And does that mean that's an instant thing, Brandon? Are you looking at me? Do you hear what I'm telling you now? Is Kyle Tucker in play for the Chicago White Sox starting next year? Come on. I just want to see his face. Oh, Dustin walked out.
Wow.
I'd like to see his face.
I got to tell you. A kid can dream. I think if you want to, a Southside kid can dream. I'm not going to squash that idea. He's not going anywhere, by the way. Okay.
Oh, come on.
I'd love a bidding war between the Cubs and the White Sox. What an idea that would be.
I'm just saying, if they're suddenly looking for the best free agent on the market, don't we have that guy in Chicago?
Yes. So let's repeat. Let's repeat
commute,
for the class.
Tucker.
Capital infusions, team operations, paying down debt. How does one accrue debt? You have a payroll.
You add a guy worth half $1 billion.
That outpaces your revenue, and you sign a free agent worth $500 million. Now, is that realistic? Probably not. But you know what I would like to reserve judgment on? What Justin Ishbia thinks about all this.
Who's got the nicer house in Chicago? Is it Tom or the Ishbia mansion being built?
That's a good question.
I haven't toured
it. It could be an arms race on the North Shore. Wow. Who has the nicest mansion? Who has the highest payroll? I think that if you do look at this, and this sounds like we are getting over our skis.
Oh, totally.
Could the White Sox have a payroll that is double what it is now?
Let me ask you a question. Is Andrew Benintendi going to have the richest free agent contract, $75 million, in the near future?
I don't think so.
They're finally going to get a $100 million player.
What they need to do is to get everything in sync timeline-wise and get your young players to the point where when they are beginning to develop to the point where you can count on them on a daily basis at the major league level, then you're ready to spend. And this accomplishes – this brings you closer to that reality, I think, if I'm interpreting it the way you could interpret.
Go buy a ball team. On top of having bought a ball team. That sounds good.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding around. I don't think they're really in the
I don't think Kyle Tucker is realistic, but I do think that generally speaking, they're not going to be a team that would be 29th in payroll or in the bottom five if these kinds of things are
when does Paul
come to fruition.
When does Paul Skeens hit the free agent market?
3 years.
That might work out perfectly.
You know, I like that ambition, though, because it's the kind of thing you wouldn't say a week ago.
It's the kind of thing you wouldn't say yesterday.
Yeah, you wouldn't say yesterday. I don't mind if and the Sox shouldn't resist that either. They should look at this as what this really is in reality, and all kidding aside, this is the White Sox succession plan. This is the White Sox succession plan for Jerry Reinsdorf, and this is the way that he's choosing to have his team run after he's gone.
Yeah.
And I think it's a smart move because you bring in ownership, and I know, look, there's a lot of stories that have come out on how the Ishbia has ruined the Phoenix Suns. And
you know how they ruined the Phoenix Suns? By buying the wrong team, by buying the wrong players, by spending money incorrectly. I'm here all day for that.
Exactly.
That's Roll what on I mean. A shopping spree, fellas. Let's see how it looks.
Are we to the point where if you're a Sox fan, you're going to complain if they do nothing, sell the team, Jerry? Jerry sells the team. Now you're going to complain with who buys it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at the Sox, and you don't say, well, they might spend money on the wrong players. You say they got the wrong players.
Right.
That I mean, it's just, it's not
because of the point that you made about Benintendi. When your highest paid free agent in the history of your franchise is a $75 million investment with the guy who is not a superstar. You're not paying him like one. And I just think that represents how limited your ambitions have been. Now I think what happened yesterday and what they acknowledged and embraced is that You're looking a little bit beyond that. You're thinking a little bit bigger, and it's about time. Really?
Yeah.
It's about time.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday. We were just going over this. When the Sox go get a player, it's like someone who once was a great player. They don't really go out and get, like, they hit the top of the market guys. They haven't done that in a really long time. Like, I would argue that the best player that they signed and brought in was like Abreu, because he was already kind of a all-star level first baseman when he arrived.
But there were uncertainty surrounding his arrival.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
I'm saying, like, can you think of a Sox player? I mean, like,
well,
I
think Adam Dunn at the time they signed him was an accomplished player.
Well,
and
at
hitter.
The time they signed him,
he fizzled,
him,
but he wasn't.
How old was Adam Dunn? I'm saying
30.
They prefer to get guys like Junior Griffey than guys that were once great players
past their prime.
That's what I'm saying.
That was the Kenny Williams way.
Yes,
Kenny Williams wanted to kind of get the last hurrah. Try to catch lightning in a bottle, and guys whose names and reputations at the time that they came to the White Sox were bigger than the results they provided. You're right. You're right. Reputation always outweighed results with the Kenny Williams era. What they've got to do, and this is the beginning of that, hopefully, if once things start to fall into place, get players entering their prime or in the middle of it. Right? That's what we're talking about.
There's going to be a guy in his prime that's available as a free agent very quickly, and you could – what do you think, Dustin? What about the White Sox now? They've got the Ishbia money behind them, invested in Kyle Tucker.
King Tuck wears black.
Well, I mean, that would be super interesting. Obviously, I wouldn't like it from my fan perspective, but I think that's a way – and I really wonder, with this influx of money – and I do think there is like an influx in testosterone, if you will, kind of like in New York where you're battling back in the old days when back of the cover of the paper mattered.
Sox were suffering from low T.
I mean, it is what it is.
Okay. I think what you're saying is they're going to be more aggressive now that they have Justin Ishbia run. If he's infusing the White Sox with capital,
yes,
then there's going to be aggressiveness.
There is going to be a battle for the headlines. They're going to want to make...
This is great for us.
It's great for us.
Yeah.
It is fantastic
because
for us.
Well, the Kyle Tucker nonsense, if I said it, you'd be like, oh, God, there he goes again. But I can't say that because you know what?
You know I'm having a laugh.
I can dream.
Listen,
I don't believe
but
you could dream.
I said to David, Dustin,
What about Skeens when he becomes free agent?
I'm just being honest. You're looking to get people that are like on the fence with the Cubs right now and think that the Ricketts aren't doing enough, and there is a group of people out there that believe that we've got a lot of national baseball writers that we have on this show and on this station.
John Heyman, just name him.
One of many.
Yeah.
John Heyman. You know, there are people that agree with John Heyman. They would love to jump ship, perhaps, if the Ishbias were to do something like that.
But I just keep – you're exactly right. And I don't think that we can – today, when we are looking and working off a press release and an announcement, you're looking at things that you focus on here. Keep repeating it. Make capital infusions, paying down debt, and supporting ongoing team operations. That's a pretty broad involvement. That's not limiting. You can infuse as much capital you want, and you can pay down as much debt as you want. That could be a ballpark investment. That could be a talent investment. A lot of different ways to invest.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it was just really big news yesterday. It was a big deal. You know, there were stories. We talked about it when the Ishbias pulled out of the whole Twins deal. That there had to be a reason for that.
Well, let's stop, pause there for a second, because I think John Greenberg was on the afternoon show yesterday.
Okay.
And I thought that you pointed out something before the show, and we were talking about this, and it stood out to me too. What we learned, I think, from that interview was, I didn't realize this at the time, maybe I just glossed over it, Jerry Reinsdorf approached the Ishbias.
Oh, yeah.
So this was something that he was proactive in pursuing, knowing that there was money out there, a potential buyer with the local connection. And so I believe that's something that is significant when you're talking about whether or not Jerry Reinsdorf has been responsive to all of this stuff going on.
And John wrote about it at the time that the Ishbias were going to buy the White Sox. And then that was not treated very well. We talked to John after that story ran, and we said to him, well, this is it.
If you think about it, it doesn't surprise you that Reinsdorf wouldn't want to – he doesn't want to let me dictate, you know, my story dictate, like, how he's going to announce or how he's going to create this, right? I'm sure he's like, who's this putz calling? You know, why is he bothering us?
But he wrote it at the time, and it's come to fruition. And congratulations to John for having that story. And he's exactly right. Jerry just stepped back and waited, and then this news came out about the stadium, and that's kind of when they made the announcement.
You're right, and that's an excellent timeline we pieced together there, because White Sox fans don't like to do this, but I do think you have to give Jerry Reinsdorf credit for reaching out and for being proactive there.
It's smart because
it was very smart.
He wants everything in place so that when the time does expire, and
he's 89 years old.
He's 89,
and this is an 89-year-old responsibly putting together a succession plan for his franchise, one that he has always cared about. We think probably more than any other that he has.
Yes.
So good for Jerry Reinsdorf and White Sox fans, because this can be viewed as the start of something big. What a week it has been in Chicago sports, Molly, because this isn't as simple as a response to what happened with the Chicago Fire and building a $650 million stadium. But boy, now you can envision the White Sox with this infusion of capital not being out of the mix. You can envision being a South Loop that's bustling with two stadiums next to each other.
Wow.
It's really something this week, what's going on with the Chicago Fire at the beginning. Now with the White Sox, and obviously the White Sox television deal coming through in the same day. The Chicago Sports Network appearing on Comcast as they are. We are this morning.
We are on in another hour, roughly, right?
7 o'clock when we go simulcasting on the Chicago Sports Network. You can get it on your Comcast cable provider. It is now live. And I saw it because I was in Mitch's office. So I saw
– I saw it. Mitch has it.
That's not.
We don't have it on in the studio.
No. Hey, baby steps. Baby steps.
One thing at a time.
I got you the gear. Okay, now
a swag bag.
Now we got to get the stuff.
David, that was a giant leap for mankind.
I wore my colors in anticipation excited. Of not getting a proper swag bag. So I wore red and black this
morning. Little faith.
I played along.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, I'm more worried about the size.
I know. If it doesn't fit, we must have quit.
You must have quit.
Nobody got arrested here, guys. I didn't steal these things. Joe Riley. Thank you to Joe Riley
and good
people at CHSN. Yeah. Yeah. Everything is looking
good. Could part of the reaching out, which I do believe Jerry deserves credit for, reaching out to the Ishbias, could some of that be that Jerry does want the team to stay here in the long run? That if this hadn't been done, a potential future owner could have said, based on the government and the politics going on around here and where the stadium's at, I'm taking them out. And I think this guarantees another 50 to 100 years of White Sox baseball staying in the state of Illinois. I'm not saying they're going to stay right there, obviously. Right? The stadium issue is still
I think
a thing,
that's a good question for a White Sox spokesman.
It
I don't
keeps
think,
yeah. them here. It doesn't. They're not going to Nashville anymore.
I'm not saying you're wrong, Dustin, but you are giving him a lot
too much
of
credit
altruistic kind
What's
of motivation, which I'm not certain is the case.
I think he was probably looking for the best deal.
But I think he also understands he bought the team for $20 million, and it looks like he'll be selling it. It's valued anyway at $2 billion. So I think that maybe
pretty good investment.
Maybe that's part of his thinking that he can ensure that it remains in Chicago and that he has them in part. They were already investors in the White Sox.
Yeah,
he had a pre-existing limited partner.
They had some limited partnership there.
So there was a relationship.
But I think that's a really interesting question. I would love to see how they would answer that because it also asking it gives them an opportunity to embrace it because maybe they would like to be known.
You're giving them a really good – that's a nice spin. If you ever went into that business,
you're welcome,
my
Brooks.
Friend. Feel free. Anybody
want to make a T-shirt of that?
Yeah. There you go.
I just want a shirt. That's it.
We'll get you a shirt. We got you some swag.
We get so much swag. I mean, come on now. I tell you, we
talked 20 minutes here about the White Sox transition of power
and
everything.
That's a big deal.
We didn't even mention the transition of power from the AAA team to the Major League team.
I said briefly.
Well, you have Tim Elko. What about Kyle Teal?
That's what I said.
Kyle
Teal's on the way.
Yes.
I said there was big news, including
But where's
Teal
Kyle Teal playing?
Where's Kyle Teal playing?
He's going to play catcher. There's no doubt about it. He's the catcher.
Well,
he's the catcher of the future, and he's coming up to be a catcher.
You could make, and you have, a persuasive argument why, if he is your catcher of the future, why he shouldn't just start the process now. And you live with Edgar Carroll spelling him on occasion, being the DH. But if Kyle Teal is good enough to come up now, and you believe that he is your everyday catcher for the next indefinite period of time, do it.
I think that I want to be careful because I really like Cuero, and I don't want to be a guy that's dissing him. But of the two, the higher rated prospect is Kyle Teal.
Always has been.
He is regarded as the better backstop of the two defensively. And again, I got all day for Cuero, but I think what they're going to do, and this is just a guess, I think they're going to swap out catchers. That when Teal comes in, if you think about it, Carroll's been hitting a little bit of a wall. He's
slumped.
So he probably goes back down. That's a guess, but it's really interesting if they kept them both up because then you're going to be developing a player at a different position, which doesn't make sense to me. I don't think Teal is a first baseman.
Could Corey Lee be the odd man out?
Well, next year.
Okay.
But I don't think this year.
For the remainder of this year, if you want to get them both at bats, one's going to have to get some of those at AAA.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think Edgar Carroll going down.
I think that makes more sense.
It does make more sense, probably because unless you're competing for something this year, and you're really not. You're trying to develop. I like the idea, though, of getting Kyle Teal some major league experience this season because if he is going to be a guy you count on to be, we always ask this question on the White Sox, these young players. Could you envision them playing a role on a White Sox team that's in contention for a playoff spot? With Kyle Teal, I think the answer is emphatic yes. He was the centerpiece of that trade.
And it's going to turn out to be okay for the White Sox.
I'm trying to figure out, too, why not have him play DH? Like, catcher, and then say Quero stays, I think, and then you switch off.
But I think they're both young, kind of growing players. This would be my answer to that, not theirs. But I think they're both young, growing players that need to play the catcher position, need to improve at it. I think Quero was better than we thought he would be. And, you know, and as I've said 1,000 times, I love the idea that he's taken crash courses in English so that he can be a better catcher because he can communicate better. That's a very responsible
approach. He's an easy guy to pull for.
I pull for him, no question about it. But I think that, as David said, you need both guys playing on a daily basis. So you should have one here and one in the minor leagues, in my opinion. If they choose to do it differently, then I'll be really curious to see if that aids or somehow hinders their progress at that position.
I think that Chris Getz is scheduled to address reporters before tonight's game against the Royals at Wrigley Field, so he'll probably have something to say about that with the plan. So that's a lot of stuff going on with the roster. There's stuff going on with ownership. Oh, by the way, the Cubs win again. Another series goes to the best team in the National League right now.
Pete Crow All-Star, PCAS.
I love the fact that his name lends so many different possibilities for nicknames.
That Dustin loved
tip of
that
the,
call.
Tip of the cap to Alex Cohen on that one. PC All-Star.
PC All-Star. Yeah. Don't I get any credit for MVP?
I like that too.
PCAS.
I don't think so. You had a good one. Produces chaos anytime.
He does. He does produce a lot of chaos. But
now he's an Adidas guy, but I'll tell you, if this All-Star thing is going to continue, hopefully, you know, voting's open, Cub fans.
You're going Converse?
Would you change
Puma?
Would you change to Converse? Be pretty cool for them.
That's where he was going. Converse.
Converse All-Stars.
Yeah. I look at him, I think Chuck Taylor.
You think he's going to change his shoes?
I'm just thinking. We're talking businesses. This is like a business of sports show. I mean, right? This is a business of sports show so far today.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. I'm just continuing it.
Well, you got the Pacers winning at the buzzer.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, I might have to go 6 games now.
Oh,
I might be wrong.
You're changing your prediction now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people might be thinking twice.
It was pretty good.
Gentleman's sweep. This was always the game they could win because of the time off.
Yeah. A gentleman's sweep?
Gentleman's sweep.
You think OKC in 5?
Yes.
You are
that's
crazy.
What I said. I think that's what I said the other day when we made these predictions.
Well, did you watch the game?
Don't change your shirt now. I don't want to be associated with that kind of prediction.
Oh boy.
Might not fit. You know, I'm not working out a couple times a week like some people on this show.
Oh, back off, Jack.
I guess we now know who that person
is. We've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Mully.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ian Hall, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. Pick Six with Mully and Hall starts now.
Were you careful not to overreact to the news yesterday that Jerry Reinsdorf and now minority owner Justin Ishbia have, quote, reached a long-term investment agreement that establishes a framework for Ishbia to obtain future controlling interest in the White Sox, end quote. According to a team release, there won't be an immediate transfer for the 89-year-old Reinsdorf. He wants to try to continue running the team through 2029 or 2034.
Yeah, I didn't get bogged down in all of that stuff. I just thought it would be better to appreciate just sort of what was written in terms of the the amount of money presumably that will be coming into the organization and the amount of investment that would be coming into the organization and. You know, eventually actual leadership coming into the organization. But I shed a tear. I won't lie about it. It moved me. I became emotional learning that. It's been a very long time that this has gone on. And yeah, I think it's, there is nothing wrong with just kind of taking a minute and, thinking about possibility. Jerry even said in the release that they want to get the franchise back to the point where everyone wants it. And I think everyone does want it in a significantly better place. And this is a move in that direction. So I think it was, nothing earth-shattering or really surprising. We'd heard rumors of this before, but I think it's a wise move on his part to secure the future of the organization as he enters into his final time as the leader of that organization. So it's, I think it's, it will sit well with people.
And I get why White Sox fans have not been the biggest fan of Jerry Reinsdorf. I totally understand. But what you just said there, Mully, is kind of where I was going with it. I think it ensures the White Sox future here in town. A little investigation over on this side of the glass. Maybe this connects another dot. The 2029 part of this, that's when the deal is up with the state of Illinois and the Chicago Sports Authority and that whole thing with the
lease runs out in 2030.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting,
yeah,
right?
That
so
is
that another reason why that number exists the way it does? And I know we maybe scoff, if I'm using the word correctly. We'll find out in a second. Stand by, stay tuned. Maybe this Dibs thing with the fire in the 78 also prompted this news. Because now this news completely trumps and stomps that news.
I love the suggestion of the pettiness that it represents, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Don't you think if Sparky never would have gone to the vacant field, put down a lawn chair and claimed Dibs, that Jerry Reinsdorf still would have made this announcement this week?
I honestly, I wonder.
I would love to know that because it sounds like it would be incredibly petty to do that. But who knows? We did say when it happened, this demands a response. I wonder how the White Sox will respond to this.
I'd like a parachuting new White Sox park landing on and squashing the folding chair of the Fire's mascot. I don't want to squash the Fire mascot, but just because if they said there is room for both.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's going to be more than 22,000 seats. right. at the new White
Sox
Park.
What you would do is you'd have Sparky there, and you'd have a bunch of reporters gathered around Sparky. Then all of a sudden, a White Sox crane comes in the background, and everybody goes scurrying to the back because that's where the action is now.
And Kevin Warren is doing the motions with the crane because he's such a big fan of the Tonka trains and the Tonka trucks. And yeah.
All right, so this is not an immediate transfer of power. Obviously, that was made clear. But right. it is an immediate presence of hope. And that has been a short supply with the White Sox, everything yes. White Sox, the so-so White Sox. They've been so-so bad for too long. And now you have some hope that a new ballpark is possible, a higher payroll is possible, all those things. And I just will continue to point to the release. And they spend time and care with these releases. They craft the language intentionally to make points. Justin Ishbia is still, at this point in time, before 2029, before 2034, he's going to be able to make capital infusions, support the ongoing team operations, and pay down the debt. That, to me, screams ballpark, project involvement, and maybe payroll improvement when you're ready. And it's going to be higher than $68 million, which is right now third lowest in the Major League Baseball. That's not going to be like that forever. And I think the end of those days, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel finally. And I understand the emotional response because yesterday was a huge day for the White Sox organization.
That's a loaded question.
That's the voice of David Sampson, 825 with Mully and Haw. How about the White Sox winning their series against the Tigers? Is that a win? I think so. It's 2-2, but that's a win. How embarrassed should A.J. Hinch feel after saving Tarek Skubal for the Cubs today and suffering the indignity of being beaten by the AL's worst team thanks to a walk-off single by recently promoted Tim Elko?
Hashtag Big Timber. This is a great question because it's worded properly. The White Sox won that series 2-2.
That's exactly right.
They won the series 2-2.
They trounced them 2-2.
This was the Detroit Tigers. This wasn't the Washington Nationals. This wasn't a team that came in. This was the best team in the American League, and the White Sox played them tight. And I do wonder, they're still competitive. I do wonder if the news at the beginning of the series, well, we're going to save the ace until the Cubs because we're going to take serious the other Chicago team, but not this one. Those guys have pride too, and I think you saw a little bit of that. Good for Will Venable's crew. They had a good series. They played competitively, and I think they did respond to the fact that they were being disrespected, and they were disrespected. I love the Tim Elko story because not just because it's a cool nickname. I like it. I keep pushing. But I think the fact that his arc of coming up here quickly this season, or not quickly enough, then going back down, not coming back up, and producing immediately, it's great. The young enthusiasm is what the White Sox are going to be riding for a while until the talent catches up with all of that exuberance. So that yesterday was a good day on the field as well for the Sox.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber.
Come on, this is exciting, right? You got Teal coming up, you got Timber. That was good. That was a good win. I mean, A.J. Hinch should feel embarrassed, and this is probably why White Sox fans should be happy that A.J. Hinch never got over to 35th and Shields, the manager of their team. But the Tarek Skubal thing, I think, was all about business, twofold parts of business. They did this for their fans, and I think if you're a fan of the Tigers, you should really appreciate this. There are going to be over 40,000 people at that stadium over the next 3 days, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday day. That place is going to be packed. There'll be a lot of Cub fans. You're going to notice the Cub fans up there as well. But a couple things. You give your ace another day off. You give your fans your ace. And who knows if Skubal didn't say to them, hey, by the way, I'll leave it up to you, but I wouldn't mind a shot at those Cubs.
Is he manager now?
I just said, it's up to you. But I mean, I think guys like that have that in their bag that they could say, hey, how about a day off and I'll pitch at home in front of the fans and I'd like an opportunity to go up against the first place Cubs.
Well, I also think, Dustin, that the White Sox had a terrible series in Baltimore. Like, they were awful. They scored 5 runs. They had scored 14 runs against a really good team in New York against the Mets. And the Mets have a great ERA. And somehow the White Sox managed to get runs and win a game in that series. But they were so bad against Baltimore that I think they felt they didn't need Skubal to be able to beat the White Sox. And I think this blew up on them, because if the Cubs take care of business tonight, because they're a significantly better hitting team than the White Sox, then you end up losing 2 games. A.J. Hinch is doing an unbelievable job. The Tigers they have the best record in all of baseball. They have more wins than any team in baseball. But maybe, just maybe, they've decided to give a couple of them away. And I think it's hilarious and really good that the Sox won that game yesterday. They were up 2-0. They gave the lead back. I'm sure there were people that felt that their day was being ruined. And then, lo and behold, they come back and they break the tie and they get a walk-off from Big Timber. You got to feel great about that. And I think there is a level of indignity. Skubal better be at his best tonight, and he better win that game or his manager will look foolish. Sorry, maybe that's an overreaction, but
how's
hello?
He going to feel in the third inning when they've hung 5 on him already and PCA is already doing his thing on the bases?
PCA All-Star.
That's a good question.
There he is, Ron Coomer. He's 9:25 this morning. Programming note. Usually Ron is a 8 o'clock staple. Today, 9:25, the Coom Dog with Mully and Haw. The Cubs are in Detroit, sleeping, hopefully, at the moment, for a potential World Series. Yes, we said it. World Series preview against the Tigers, who boast the best record in baseball. Their Cy Young Award winner, Tariq Skubal. We just talked about him. Who wins the series? How many Ks does Skubal get tonight? Steve Stone kind of hinted that he might be the difference between the two teams. Have you thought much about that since Steve said it?
Thought about little else since Steve said it, believe it or not. I really have thought quite a bit about that. I thought it was a really interesting response, and I thought that that the gauntlet was thrown at the feet of Jed Hoyer, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to pick it up with his teeth, because I'm not sure if Tom's teeth are behind what would be a move to get as good a pitcher as Skubal is. And I'm not sure that there is a better pitcher than Skubal at this point. But it is a reminder, if anyone's paying attention, that you need more. That as good as things have gone, you need more. You always need more. And the idea that Skubal could start, what would he start, 3 games in a 7-game set? And the last one, who knows how well he'd be or
that's
how good
optimistic.
He'd be. But I'm just saying, it's like, I'm talking about if everybody gets to where they
I
pray
know.
To God they can be.
Cubs in 5.
I think it's fascinating. I think he had Tigers in 3.
I think he
yesterday,
did.
Dustin.
I've thought about nothing else.
But I'll go with 7 Ks for Skubal tonight. And I think that I think the Cubs can get him out of the game and win late.
I think what was probably more shocking about that whole conversation that I actually said Tigers in, I think, 5 based on the current setup of the situation,
wasn't,
you know, as of today. No, that was you trying to trick me, seeing if I was paying attention or not. So the Tigers are -198 tonight. That is a big favorite for 2 first place teams. The Cubs are +166. They've got the total on this game at 7. And as far as the Skubal strikeouts, unfortunately, I love this number. We were all wrong. You want to take a guess real quick? So, first of all, we talked about this yesterday. Yes. We were all wrong. The over-under is what? Take a guess.
5.
More than that. Take a guess.
6.
7.5.
Oh, okay.
7.5.
We said 8.
I said 8.
Yeah.
Yes, you were wrong.
Dude,
the number, I mean, you said the number was going to be 8. The number is 7 okay. and a half.
You made it sound like I was way off.
Okay, with all due respect, I figured 8 was on the low end. I thought it would be, I think I said 9. I think you said 8.5 and David said 8. I'm surprised it's 7.5. So something's up. Okay, they're begging you to bet Scooble over. They're mm-hmm. begging you to do it. Why are they begging you to do that? That I don't understand. This is something I think to keep an eye on. It would be a great World Series. This was supposed to be the World Series of my youth, right? This was supposed to be when the Cubs went out to San Diego.
Jump.
Right? You know, might as well.
Go ahead and jump.
Uh-huh. Rick Sutcliffe's hitting home runs as a pitcher, boy. Right? They're wheeling in the carts into classrooms, you know, the ATV, AV guys.
That's what they need this year, right? Dustin. That's what they need.
They need Sutcliffe.
They need to make a Sutcliffe move. Yeah. You ever see a better in-season move for a team?
No.
That changed their...
Certainly not in Cub history. So who's winning the series, Dustin?
I predicted on the Fly the W podcast that the Cubs would not get swept.
You picked Tigers 2 out of 3?
I did.
Oh, you have little faith. They're coming in hot. I think the Tigers will lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. I think the Cubs will win this series in Detroit. And their bats, I just can't get past the sound effects. I don't know if I want to predict how many strikeouts Tarik Skubal will have, because I could be wildly wrong and off by one. So
could be off by a half.
Both things could be true. So I will think he will strike out 7. I'll take the under. Thank you. And I believe the Cubs, though, are going to get to the bullpen and then win a tight game. It could be something like 5-3. They don't win those kind of games much, but it'll be like 5-3-ish.
Now you're flip-flopping. Yesterday you said he'd strike out 8.
But I didn't know this information you said that you shared with me. I'm saying that.
Yesterday you said he'd strike out 8. Now you're saying you'd go under 7.5.
I'm going 7. So I said 7. I'm changing by 1 because the Cubs look better to me. They showed me in Washington they're ready for Tarik Skubal, and I think that the fact that the Tigers delayed him a day.
I just want Skubal. I want this game to go to the Cubs. I don't care about the rest
too.
Of the series.
I want that.
For that reason.
Yeah,
just for the arrogance of it.
You know, it's a little arrogant by A.J. Hinch.
It's like assuming
you have a job before you have it.
That's exactly right. No, you haven't been hired yet. Yes, that is your name on the photo.
Sorry.
But we prefer the man with liver spots.
I lost the tail end of your question.
That is the voice of Dan Weider talking Bears with you at 7:25. As promised, Bears coach Ben Johnson evaluated tape and declared players who have caught his eye this week.
I'd say defensively, the two guys I would tell you are Dom Robinson. He, even without the pads on, he's done a great job of consistently speed rush up the field or countering back to the inside. And then I thought the player we probably saw the most improvement from when he stepped in to now was Ruben Hippolyte. On offense, I'd probably single out Joel Wilson. You saw him today with a big catch. He's kind of had one or two of those almost every OTA. And then in the running back room, Kyle Manungai.
All right, what do you think of that comment about who caught the coach's eye at Halas Hall?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Joel Wilson, when I heard that name, I Googled him because I did not know exactly who that was. And then I went to Clay Harbor and I thought, who's this guy? And I knew if anybody would know about obscure tight ends trying to make a roster, it would be Clay Harbor. And he did. And he said he looked good, looked very athletic. But I think what Ben Johnson did there is pretty smart. Actually, I think what he did there, he said he was going to come up with a list of names, and then he followed through with an interesting, intriguing list of names. And you know what those names included? Nobody who's accomplished a thing. So you look at what he did in throwing those names out there, motivates those guys, it rewards them for their efforts, and the try-hard guys. We've heard Dominique Robinson before.
From Clay Harbor. Yeah.
Yes. So I think... It also tells the veterans, you want to get my attention, that these are effort guys. These are guys who are trying to make a point and make an impression. So that is how I operate. It wasn't, you know, the names of guys who are established. I liked all of what I heard. And I liked it especially because two of those guys on the list, Maction.
Now, this might be good inside the walls at Halas Hall, but this does not play well with this Bears fan. Like if these are the guys that are catching your eye at training camp, then what he also said, which we might get to later, which is we aren't ready for prime time yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why you're not ready for prime time, because these four guys are on the tip of your tongue.
I think David's right. I think this is excellent for those reasons, because of the obscurity of the players. And you're telling, you know, remember, this was the last chance for him to see the veteran players. They're not coming back. I thought that he mentioned that he told them, you'll be back in June for training camp, because next week they keep going with OTAs, but that's mainly for younger players and for special team stuff. So he basically told the vets that that you'll be back in June, and we do not get in shape. You are back in top shape. We don't use training camp to get in shape. So he let everybody know that you're off until June, but you should basically be working out until June. I think that Dominic Robinson, we've heard before. We've heard from Clay Harbor mention him specifically. And I like that the coach underscored it. Ruben Hippolyte, we've heard of as the most overdrafted player in the draft, right? Didn't some draft experts say that it was the worst pick of
yes,
the draft?
Yes, he did. Yep.
Because they took him in the fourth round, and he's a guy that they could have gotten a round or two later. They like his speed, but he's an undersized guy, so that was an interesting one. Manungai, we all know they need a impact from a running back. They got him in the seventh round, but they felt he could have gone earlier. And then Joel Wilson, I too had to look up. He went to Central Michigan. He was an undrafted free agent last year, not this year, in 2023, right? He has been he's never played in the NFL, but he's been in camp or on a practice squad or a tryout basis. The Bears are his fifth team in the NFL that he's trying out for. He caught a big pass from the backup quarterback, not the backup you're thinking about, not the guy from the agency.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum threw a pass to him that he caught, very athletic play, and he caught the coach's eye, and that's good. I like that he did it that way, and I like that the best moment of the whole damn thing was when you heard the Roma Dunze last year's high draft pick. You heard him say, "I'm coming next week," because he wants to get better and he wants to be a good player. Great stuff from him.
What kind of question is that?
Now that Aaron Rodgers will indeed play in 2025 with those Steelers in Pittsburgh, which streak is likely to end for Coach Mike Tomlin? His 18-year run without a losing season in Western PA, or his six-game losing streak in the playoffs dating back to 2016? Does the noon game on the 23rd at Soldier Field take on added value?
Oh, I think every game takes on added value. I think they open the year at the Jets, right? If they had known, if the league knew this was happening, it would not be the noon start. But they are opening up against Aaron Rodgers' old team. So I think that that's going to be a ton of fun. Aaron Rodgers has not had a very successful run of late. I think he's like 22 of 36 games. He's just been a very middle-of-the-road player, obviously missed a lot of time. Things went wrong with the Jets. He's got something to prove. Mike Tomlin is just one of those great coaches. That's an extraordinary 18-year run without a losing season. He has been a one-and-done guy in the playoffs, so I will have to see this team play in order to make this kind of a prediction. But I am more inclined to think there might be one more gasp left for Aaron Rodgers than to think that this is going to be a completely awful pear-shaped event.
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go
Thank
somewhere
you.
And chew on bark.
I was hoping that they were going to take that advice, Aaron Rodgers' camp, stay in California and chew on bark. I'm also thrilled that there's so much other good local content today. We have to answer this question. It's important, but gosh, I can't stand him. And I'm shocked that the Steelers are doing this. It's so un-Steelers-like, and I think as a result, to answer the question specifically, the Steelers will not finish above 500 for the first time in the Mike. That is a really rough and tumble division. It's probably the best division in football. And the Bears are going, that is going to be one of the Bears' wins this year, will be against the Steelers. By then, it might not even be Aaron Rodgers anymore. That's going to be late in the season, and they might have pivoted at that point. See, he's going to go in there and upset the apple cart.
I think you're responding to Aaron Rodgers, the person, and I get it. Aaron Rodgers, the player, makes the Steelers more of a playoff contender. And I think Aaron Rodgers, the player, at this stage of his career, with the stability that Mike Tomlin provides, is going to be a difference maker with the Steelers. This is not good news for the rest of the AFC North. I believe Aaron Rodgers still has something left in the tank. If you compare him to Tom Brady at the stage of his career and his life, there's still some good football left in Tom Brady. Life after 40 exists in the NFL if you are a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback the way that these guys are. With Mike Tomlin, you look at where the Steelers are. Every year you start with your floor is about 8 victories. And then, you know, he can win 8 games with Mason Rudolph or some of the nondescript quarterbacks that he has worked with before Mitch Trubisky. And I think that you understand what he has now. And what he has now is a guy able to elevate the players around him. Aaron Rodgers to DK Metcalf could become a thing. I think it was a smart decision by Aaron Rodgers. Really don't care about the calendar because does he really need OTAs? Are you going to disqualify him because he's not going to show up until mandatory minicamp? I don't know, but I do know this. If you're looking at a trade and the Jets and the Steelers and they're swapping quarterbacks and Justin Fields is in New York and Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh, I think the Steelers got the better end of that one.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
How big was the Tyrese Halliburton game-winning shot with just 0.3 seconds left in game one of the NBA Finals? Could that shift the series? Will it change your prediction?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because OKC led by 15 in the fourth quarter.
Man.
15 in 49 states. That's a big lead. But this was Indiana. And the Pacers come storming back. And Tyrese Halliburton did what no other player has done since Michael Jordan in 1997, a game winner in the NBA Finals in the final second of the game. I have rethought my prediction. If you can go into Oklahoma City and steal a game like they just stole that game, that's going to leave a mark. So I'm teetering right now. I said Oklahoma City in 6, I believe. I don't know. Go Pacers, go. Yes, sirs.
The first thing I thought of was he could have been a Bull. Instead, we got Patrick Williams. Ooh. And then I thought about the fact that I believe I said gentleman sweep, and it will be a gentleman sweep. Here's the other thing. It now, I believe, should have everybody's attention. Don't like the fact that they moved it Sunday. So Saturday we get no championship games. I mean, they had it set up where every other night we would get a championship game, either on the court or on the ice.
Watch the sky.
And now Saturday,
sky?
I'm going to listen to the sky right here on the score. Chuck Swirsky on the play-by-play Saturday night, by the way.
Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
Chuck
and Layla?
That I don't want to confirm or deny that, but all I know right. Chuck is calling the game.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
Wow, that's big time. Is Caitlin Clark gotten better? No, okay,
she's still out.
Ah, too bad. Yeah, I thought it was huge. I mean, I gotta tell you, I kind of put that one to bed. The Cubs game had ended before that game even really began, and you're kind of like the Sox played earlier, and it's a Thursday night, and I thought, I will watch the rest of this. I watched, you know, definitely watched the first half, and then I thought, well, I'll just pick up on this one, and holy cow. I mean, I could not believe it when I woke up and saw that. It felt like that game was put to bed in the fourth quarter, up 15. And OKC is not that this playoffs, this has happened in, during the playoffs. And, you know, it made me think to myself that what they did to Boston wasn't a fluke.
Right.
That was pretty extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've talked a lot about coaching, and I think they've got an advantage with the coach. But they got that shot from a great player who hits clutch shots. All due respect to Jalen Brunson, that's about as clutch a shot as you're going to put down. And I think this thing's going to be a series. I still think OKC will win. I don't think that it means they don't win. But let's wait and see what happens over the weekend before we make a call on that one.
To your point about coaching, Pacers get the ball, 9 seconds left, they're down one. They don't call timeout.
I know.
They let them go so they don't get a chance to set up their defense and get their matchups. And Haliburton rewarded that faith with the shot that I think changed the series. Good stuff.
All right. We've got the extra point next. It's a good one. Mully and Hall on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What was the best part of the Cubs' victory over the Nationals on Thursday, which allowed them to win their seventh series in a row? Is the idea of an opener growing on you? And should we really start trusting Craig Counsell because he's proving to be one of the best skippers in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think the best part about it, to be honest, when you see Matt Shaw having three hits, I know there were a lot of other things that happened in that game that might have stood out more, but I look at the Cubs, and I think with Matt Shaw hitting over 300, really looking like he belongs since he was brought back, it really gives you a sense of relief. Ian Happ, yeah, he got his 500th run batted in, I believe. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
it's a lot
good.
Of good milestones. Yep. Kyle Tucker back in the lineup, good sign. But I think, you know, Drew Pomeranz hasn't given up a run, I think, in 5 years. He started, and I do think we need to, I'm talking to myself here, give Craig Counsell the benefit of the doubt on some of these things, some of these decisions that at first glance you're like, what? Why? Colin Ray, does this make any sense? But Kyle Tucker, Why does he rest? Oh, he's pinch hitting, but can he play? All the things we question. He knows what he's doing. And this year he has done more with more. He was brought here for doing more with less in Milwaukee, but he's not there anymore. And what we're seeing here is the combination of the Cubs being able to have better talent on the roster, they can afford it, and the best manager in the what? Division? National League? Majors? Craig Counsell is earning his money, and I think that we all need to recognize that because we do tend to take it for granted.
Pete Kroll, All-Star!
That was the best moment of the game.
Okay.
Okay, he puts, but in all serious, for a couple of reasons. It's his 16th home run, straightaway center field. Kyle Tucker is the guy on base.
Yeah,
for
So
that's also part of this whole why that. And with the opener, now all of a sudden the opener has a 2-0 cushion. Changes even, I bet, his approach from what he might have started with. Because one of the balls went right to the wall, mm-hmm. and Ian Happ made a nice catch on one of the outs. The opener thing, it makes sense, but I want to know who deserves credit for it. But it's also interesting. It's like we've lost faith in you, Colin Ray, this time around, so we're going to use an opener. We lost faith in you, Ben Brown, last time around. So now Ben Brown's going to start tonight, and he's not going to have an opener. So I just wonder, does it motivate? Okay, so then you get away, the now starter slash bullpen guy only has to face the top of the order twice instead of three times in order to get far enough that now maybe you only have to face them, you know, one more time for those fourth at bats. So it's interesting, but you would never want to see that in a playoff game, right? It almost feels like we're doing this because we don't trust you. I want to hear from Tommy Hotovy this week. He'll be on with you guys Wednesday or Thursday coming up this week. And I want more on that because I think Tommy will give us a real.
I think it's more strategic than that.
Yeah, and I also think it's a way of stealing an inning from your bullpen, not from your starter. Because you want your starter to continue to pitch as many innings as he does and eat innings. But you're stealing an inning, and you can use him longer. And then when you get to your bullpen, you might have fewer innings to go. You have less time that you got to worry about. This may be more about the back end than it is about the actual guy that you're trying to get to go a couple times through the lineup. It allows you to not need as many pitchers in relief because you stole one early. The best thing about the best thing about this by a mile was they got it over with quickly. You know, they get the Pete Kroll Armstrong moment. By the time the Cubs were up in the second inning, felt like the game had been on for an hour and guys were running the bases. They were only up 3-0, but that was more than enough. And then they add on with a couple runs, and then they get a couple runs at the end of the game, and it was a blowout. You were just finishing up, and you were getting they shouldn't have given up a run at the end, but hey, things happen. You feel pretty good about how easy a victory it was.
Can I tell you my favorite thing now that I think about it and I look at the game notes? This little nugget. Colin Ray became the first Cub pitcher since Jamie Moyer in 1987 to throw a scoreless outing of at least 5 1/3 innings without a strikeout.
Wow.
Struck out nobody. Pitched to contact. First time since Jamie Moyer in 87.
Jamie did that for about 40
years. He did. Made a good living that way.
He did. Is he still pitching? All right. We're going to get to your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Unbelievable news yesterday with the announcement that Justin Ishbia is indeed in line to be the next owner of the Chicago White Sox, according to a news release from the team on Thursday. And
it is.
I shouldn't
limit it because I think we used the word transformational when we talked about the Chicago Fire building a stadium $650 million stadium in the South Loop. And I think a couple days later, we get this announcement, and it feels just as big, if not bigger, if it is something that results in significant investment into the White Sox product, payroll, ballpark project, all of the things that we think are possible. Yeah, this could be just as big, if not bigger. It's been a huge week in Chicago sports.
Let's add Justin Ishbia to the list, Dustin.
Yeah, of invitations. We need Joe Mansueto, Justin Ishbia.
We got to have Justin.
And we have a standing invitation to Jerry Reinsdorf.
Of course, always.
And Rick Hahn.
And don't forget Rick Hahn. We got to
ask me after the parade.
He's doing a lot of talking these days. He did respectfully decline. I actually did invite him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, there's some breaking news on the air.
It's not any, no reason. I just think he's trying to keep a lower profile after doing the MLB Network stuff. I'm very curious, though, when you – it's just natural, Molly. You're a Sox fan, but, like, when things like yesterday happened with the Sox, I find myself wondering what those guys think of some of these developments.
Oh, of course.
Like Kenny and Rick after being there for so many years.
No question about it.
And I also – I think Ozzy Unplugged would be interesting to hear how he feels about all these things. So we got a big show ahead. We got a lot of things.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to talk in Sox. David Sampson at 8:25 will be fascinating to follow because of his knowledge and about the inner workings of ownership.
All right, we do have tons, and we're going to get to everything, but we've got a little chance to talk to you right now. 312-644-6767. We will be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.